Today's shiur, Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Our previous shiur concluded in the middle of the Mishnah that began toward the lower part of Lamed Vov Amud Beis. The Mishnah began by a physical description of how the court was set up, describing it as set up in a semicircle, thereby enabling all the parties to see each other. It also described the presence of court scribes, with two opinions featured in the Mishnah of how many court scribes there were and what their roles were. Continuing from the top of Lamed Zayin Omed Aleph, the Shalosh Shuros Shel Tamidei Chachomim Yoshvim Lifnehem, there were three additional rows of scholars that were seated in front of the court of 23, Kol Echod Ve'echod Makir Es Mechoimoi. Each one of the people of these Talmid Chachamim seated in these three rows knew their position, knew their relative position of greatness with regard to their friends. In other words, the rows were set up in such a way that the first member of the first row, in the event that, let us say, a member of the court passed away and they needed a replacement, so they would take the greatest member of the assembled Talmidei Chachamim there, and he was positioned in the first seat of the first row. Who would fill his place in those rows of Talmidei Chachamim? The person sitting right next to him. In this fashion, everyone moved ahead one seat, and the last seat that was vacated would be filled by someone from the community. The Mishnah goes on to describe this situation. Hutzruchu lismoch, somchen min harishon, if there was a need to offer smicha to one of the assembled Talmidei Chachamim in those rows, so they would grant smicha to the first one in the first row. Echod min hashniya bolo lerishona. And as a result of their having each individual moving ahead one seat, so a member of the second row, the first member of the second row, would assume the last seat in the first row. Echod min hashlishis bolo lishniya. And likewise, as a result of that, and everyone moving ahead one seat, the last seat in the second row would become vacated, and that would now be occupied by the first one in the third row. That's echod min hashlishis bolo lashniya. Borin lahen oid echod min hakol amoshivin oso bashlishis, and they would choose someone from the community, and he would be seated in the now vacated Talmidei Chachamim third row, and seated there. The new party wouldn't jump into the first seat of the first row that was just vacated, but rather he would be seated in the seat fit for him. Namely, or let us say in other words, the least of the Talmidei Chachamim in those three rows was greater than the greatest member of the general community. Minohani mili, from where do we know that the court was set up in a semicircle? The topic heading that we've offered on the side is Tiurim Shel HaSanhedrin, descriptions of the Sanhedrin, al pi haposuk, based on the verse in Shir HaShirim that says, Shorerech Agan Hasar Al Yechsar Hamozeg. So the Gemara answers, from where do we know the semicircle? Omar Rabbi Chiyo, Omar Rabbi Acho Bar Chanino, the Omar Kro, the Posuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin Posuk Gimel says, Shorech Agan Hasar Al Yechsar Hamozeg, V'chulei. Notice in our markings, we have a long answer marking. That's the tuf that's encircled teretz with a vertical dash line. All of the lines of the Gemara opposite this vertical extended line are part of the answer. In this answer, we will see in the Gemara text several words underlined. The underlined words, and they're also provided in quotation marks, represent quotes from the pasuk itself. Continuing now in the Gemara, Shorech, Zu Sanhedrin. Shorech, translated, means navel. The word Shorech is a reference to the Sanhedrin. Loma Nikra Shma Shorech. Why is Sanhedrin referred to by such a term? Answer, Shehi Yosheves Betiburo Shel Olam. The Sanhedrin is located in the Beis HaMikdash, which is considered the center of the world, and the navel being centrally located in the body. Agan, Shehi Megino Al Kol HaOlam Kulo. The word Agan from the Pasuk is taken to mean Mogain, a defense. So that the idea contained here is that when justice is practiced by the Sanhedrin, it serves to protect the entire world. The word mogein being protection, or shield. Hasar, shihi doime lasar. Sar being that which is a circle. So the Sanhedrin was seated in a circled fashion, in this case a semicircle. Al yechser hamozeg. It should not be less than the ratio of dilution. Which really means that when preparing wine, it was accepted in the time of the Gemara that you would be able to take the concentrate wine concentrate, the pure wine, and dilute it with two parts water for every one part wine. So the Pasuk is saying, Al yechzer mosek she'im hutzrach echad mehem lotzeis, if when dealing with the Sanhedrin HaGodol, which contains 71 members, if one of them, if someone had to leave the Beis HaMikdash area, the Lishkas HaGosis, Roin, they would evaluate. Im yesh esrim u'shlosha keneged Sanhedrin ketana yotzei, if there remained in the Lishkas HaGosis 23 members, which is roughly one-third of the general, of the entire body, so then he, the judge who wanted to leave, is entitled to leave, because he's leaving behind 23 members, which represents roughly a third, like in the wine-water ratio we just mentioned. The imlav, if upon his departure there won't be 23 judges remaining, eino yotze, he's not allowed to leave. Since we've opened up with the posuk in Shir HaShirim Perek Zayin, posuk Imel, we continue with that posuk, bitnech aremas chitim. Ma, your belly is like a heap of grain, of wheat. Ma aremas chitim hakol nehenim mimeno, just like a heap of grain of wheat, everyone benefits from wheat being a staple item. Af Sanhedrin hakol nehenim mitamehem. So too, with regard to the Sanhedrin, everyone benefits from their reasons. Pasuk in the same location continues, Suga Vashoshanim, fenced in by roses. What does that mean for our purposes? Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at Rashi, lower part of the page, Suga Vashoshanim, Gedura Vashoshanim, fenced in by roses. Klomar, Beazhora Kala, by a mere light warning, Uvahavdola Muetes, and by a partial separation, Heim Nifroshim in Avera. They are separated from sin. The ain't soch geder avonim lafsikon, and it's not necessary to have a very strong, solid type of fence separating them from avera, from sin. Shafil ain rechokim min avera elo geder shoshanim, even if they are distanced from actual sin by a flimsy type of fence, like a fence made of roses. Mafsik beinehem. The lo yifritzu ba process together, that will separate them and they won't break through the fence. The Gemara now explains this. She'afilu kesugo shel shoshanim, even a fence like that of roses, lo yifritzu bohen process, they won't breach it. V'hainu diomale hahu mino l'Rav Kahana. And following this idea of a flimsy fence, we will appreciate the discussion between this skeptic and Rav Kahana. Amrisu, the skeptic, says to Rav Kahana, you say in your Torah law, Nida Shori Lichudi Bahadi Gavra, that a husband and wife, when the woman is experiencing her female cycle, that she is allowed to be, even though she is totally forbidden in terms of halacha, in terms of Torah law, to experience intimacy with her husband, nevertheless, they're allowed to be in private with one another. So the skeptic goes on to say, this is a very hard halacha to think can be kept. Efshar eish b'ne'uris v'eino mehavheves. Is it possible to have fire burning in ne'uris? Would be some flammable material, something like tinder, v'eino mehavheves, and it wouldn't singe. In other words, how could it possibly be that a wife who is experiencing her cycle, a time at which she is totally forbidden to her husband in intimacy, and yet they are allowed to be left alone in private? Amarle, Rav Kahana says, Hatura he'ida aleinu. Notice we have a double underline, which represents one of our series markings. Before we go further in this topic, let's glance at what we have written on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei. The topic that we're dealing with is Afilu Bazhora Kala, even with a light warning, Am Yisrael Nifroshim min Avera. The Jewish people know how to distance themselves from sin. Mivneh, the structure, we have featured the double underline, Gimel Makoros, three sources, Pipsukim Lehanal, that are found in verses to explain this idea. Each opinion citing his choice of verse. So we continue in the Gemara. Rav Kahana responds to the skeptic and says, HaTorah he'ida aleinu, the Torah testifies regarding us, Suga b'shoshanim, fenced in by roses, Shafilu kesuga b'shoshanim, lo yifritzu bohem rotzos, that even with a flimsy type of fence, they will not breach it. Reish Lakish, Amar Mehocha, Reish Lakish says that idea is reflected in the following pasuk. Kefelach horimon rakosech. Afilu reikonim shebach. The word rakosech is taken to mean even the empty ones amongst us. Malayan mitzvos karimon are full of positive actions, of good deeds, fulfilling many commandments, like a rimon, like a pomegranate, is full of seeds. So the idea being that even the least of our people are capable of fulfilling many mitzvahs, and in this context would be able to experience a privacy with one's wife during her female cycle and not violate the law. Rabbi Zeira Omar Mehocha, from the following you see this idea. Vayorach es reach begadav. Al tikri begadav ela boigdav. The word vayorach indicates a smell. In this case, a pleasant smell is characteristic of the begodov, is not taken to mean clothing, but rather, which is a simple translation, but bogdov, the rebellious ones. The idea being that even those amongst our people that are rebellious in nature, and you might think don't fulfill its precepts, nevertheless will distance themselves from this kind of violation. Hano biryuni dahavu b'shivu seid Rabbi Yizera dahavu mikarav lahu ki hechi denadru lahu b'tyuvta. Hano biryuni means there were those tough or brutal type characters. The Rashi says pritzim loshon burim. And people that are empty and we'll call them violators, that were in the Shivavuse, the neighborhood of Rabbi Zeira, that Rabbi Zeira attempted to draw them near. He practiced outreach with regard to these tough neighbors, and his intent was to cause them to repent. Vavukapti Rabbonan. Rabbi Zeira's colleagues were not in approval of his attempts, of his behavior. Kinoch nafshei de Rabbi Zeira, when Rabbi Zeira eventually passed away, Amri, these biryoni, these tough guys, said, An ho'idno, until now, have a charicha katin shake. Davi boy alon rachmi. The expression that we have in singular quotation marks, charicha kotin shake, is a nickname that they named Rebbe Zeira. Literally, it means the one whose feet are singed. And there's a reason that Rebbe Zeira got that particular title. Rashi makes reference to the Gemara in Bava Metzia that reveals the entire story. For our purposes, we'll just regard it as a nickname, the short singed foot man, that until now, they were saying, he, the Haviboy Alon Rachami, he used to pray for us. So we carried on however we carried on, but we were always cognizant of the fact he was praying for our benefit. However, Hashto Man Boy Alon Rachami, now that he's deceased, who is going to pray for us? So this caused them to be quite upset, and Hirharu Belibayhu V'Avdu Tshuva. They had second thoughts about their way of life, and in fact, repented. Shalosh Shuros V'Chulei V'Lohoya Yoshe B'Mkomo Sharishan. The Mishnah described that there were three rows of Talmidei Chachamim, and when a member of the court, of the basic court, passed away, they would take someone from these rows. Specifically, the first person in the first row would assume the position of the would be appointed to the court, and as a result of that, the vacated seat would be now occupied by the fellow sitting next to him. And this chain event took place, affecting all of the 69 people, or now 68 people seated in those rows, everyone moving a seat, leaving the last seat in the third row vacant to be occupied by someone from the general community. Omar Abaye. Abaye, noticing this Mishnah, says, Shmami, no, we can conclude from here, Ki Naidi, when they moved, Kulu Naidi, all of them moved, as we already explained. V'lema lahu, why couldn't it be argued by the fellow who, let us say, for example, had to leave the first seat in the third row, and now assume the last seat in the second row, why couldn't he say, Adhu idno hava yisivna bereisha, until now I was sitting in the front position, in the primary position, namely the first seat of the third row. Hashto mosvisu li bedanvi, now you're having me seated literally in the tail. Danvi is the word zonov, or for our purposes it means now I'm being seated in the last row, in the last seat of the second row. Amar Abaye, the Amri Lehochi, we say to him the following which is found also in the Pirkei Avos, the Ethics of Our Fathers, the piece of wisdom that says, Heve zonav l'arayos, better to be the tail of lions, the Altei Rosh l'shu'olim, than being the head of foxes. So that the position of the last seat in the second row shows greater significance, greater ranking than the first seat in the third row. Before we continue with the Mishnah, we notice a new topic heading, Ketzad Ma'aymin al Eidei Nefoshos. What do we say to serve as warning or notice to witnesses that are going to testify in a capital case? Ketzad Ma'aymin es Ho'edim al Eidei Nefoshos. The Mishnah asks, how does the Iyum, the warning take place with regard to these witnesses? Hoyu machnisen oison, they would be brought in, umaimin alehem. And the following was said as far as trying to put them on notice or warn them. Shema tomru me'omed, maybe you're going to testify based on your personal estimation of things, namely testimony not based on hard facts, umishmua, or based on hearsay, or aid mipi aid, based on hearing from someone who himself heard. In other words, not you're saying testimony not based on your direct witnessing, but based on someone else's witnessing. Umipi odom namon, or you're going to say testimony based on something you heard from a trustworthy individual. Shemo iatem yodim, maybe you don't know, shesofenu livdok eschem bedrisha ubechakira. Maybe you're not aware that we're going to cross-examine you with questions regarding time and place. Hevu yodim, be aware, shelo kedine momenos dine nefoshos, that capital cases are unlike momenos, unlike financial cases. Dine momenos adam nose momenu miskabrelo. In financial cases, even if something goes wrong, even if someone does something wrong, he can always offer money for as compensation for the wrong. However, dinei nefashos, if there's something wrong done in the context of the judicial process of capital cases, and the victim is executed, damoi v'dam zaroisav tluyin bo ad sof ha'olam. The blood, so to speak, of the victim and all of those that could have come forth from him are on his head. Shekei motzinu b'tayin shehorag es ochiv. We find by the early incident in the Torah where Kayin killed his brother Hevel, shenemar demei ochicho tzoakim. That's the pasuk. Then notice the word demei in the plural. Eino omer dam ochicho. It doesn't say your brother's blood. Elo demei ochicho. Your brother's blood in the plural, which equals damoi v'dam zaroisov. By killing Hevel, he was also preventing the offspring of Hevel from ever coming into the world, in a sense killing them too. Dover acher, another explanation with regard to the pasuk of demei ochicha is dover acher demei ochicha shehoya damoi mushlach alo etzim ve'alavonim, that his blood was scattered in over the entire vicinity, hence the word demei in the plural. The Rashi points out that they continue, the court authorities continue telling the witnesses the following: Lefikach nivra adam yechidi. This is a long point that we've assigned to this section. Notice the nun that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi. The nun indicates a nekuda, a point, which extends to the bottom line, the long point concerning why was man created in the singular, a singular Adam, Adam HaRishon. Why was a singular man created in the beginning? L'lamdecha, and we've numbered off numerous different explanations for this as we go on in the Mishnah. So the first one is L'lamdecha, shekol ha'ma'abed nefesh achas Mi'Israel. Anyone who kills a Jew, ma'lo v'kosuv ki'ilu ibed oylam mole. It's as if he destroyed an entire world. As is obvious, the entire world stemming from one man. So the killing of one man is as if he's killed an entire world. And on the flip side as well, v'chol hamakayim nefesh achas Mi'Israel, ma'lo v'kosuv ki'ilu ki'em olam mole. And anyone who saves the life or preserves the life of a single Jew, it's as if he saved an entire world or established an entire world. A second reason for the singularity of original man, umitnei shalom habrios, and for the to create a sense of peace amongst creatures, shalo yoimer odom lechavero, that one cannot say to his fellow man, abba gadol me'avicha, that my forebearer is greater than your forebearer. We all had the same forebearer. Number three, v'shalo yuhaminim oimrim, and to prevent the skeptics from saying harbe rishuyos bashamayim, that there are numerous gods and each god created his own man. Number four, ulahagid gedulos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the fact that one man was created and from him stem forth all of humanity shows greatness of the Creator Himself. She'odam toveya kamo matbeos b'choisem echod, when a common man mints coins and he mints it from the original mold, what happens? Kulon doimen ze lo ze. The original mold makes many, many coins, but all of the products of that original mold look the same. Every coin is similar to the previous coin. Umelech malchei hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of Kings, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, God, Tova kol Odom, b'choisamoy shel Odom HaRishon, all future men came from the original man, v'in echod behem doyme l'chavero, and no subsequent man, no individual man looks like his fellow man. There's always a difference. An amazing feat of accomplishment. L'fikoch kol echod ve'echod chayav lomar b'shvili nivra ho'ilam. The Rashi at the bottom line says, "Bishvili nivra ha'olam, klomar choshuv ani ka'olam ole." I am as significant as an entire world. Lo etrad es asmi min ha'olam ba'aviru achas v'yimshoch mimena. It's not worth it for me to cause myself to by through sin to be removed from the world. V'shemotomru, we have a diamond appearing, and it's explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading, the structural note. Shemotomru, ma umrim le'edim shemahasisim lohoid. What do we say to witnesses that, after hearing all of this, will may hesitate to testify? So, as the Mishnah says, v'shema tomru, you might say, ma lonu ulatzora hazos. You might say, well, what do we have to stick our heads into this trouble and worry about the fact that, as a result of our testimony, someone might die, even if it's true. But still, a person's death is like the destruction of the entire world. So to that we would answer, v'halok far nemar, v'hu eid, oy ro'o, oy yoda. If a person is a witness and is aware of something, im lo yagi v'naso avono, that not testifying is a sin. Therefore, there is an obligation, a Torah obligation, to testify. Hence, the emotional attempt to extricate oneself from this obligation is unfounded. V'shem otomru ma lonu lochuv b'domo shozeh. You might say that, still, why should we be the ones responsible for the death of this individual? Rashi adds, you know what? It might be worth it for us to violate the mitzvah of saying testimony, but in exchange we'll at least have the peace of mind knowing that a person did not die as a result of our testimony. So to that we say back, Balok far nemar, bavod rishoyim rino, that through the destruction, through the elimination of the wicked, there is joy. So that by testifying honestly, and in truth, the defendant found guilty is removed from society, that in fact is a source of joy. Hence, do not be discouraged from testifying. The topic heading that we've assigned to this upcoming piece of Gemara, found on the outside margin, the Nosei, number one, Ein Lohoid Me'oimed. One should not testify based on calculations, based on estimations. Mahi Me'oimed. And what is an example of that? What is an example of Omed? Number two, Maisa Rav Shimon ben Shetach, Vahu Im Sayef Biodo, Vidam Netafteif. We're going to learn about an incident involving Shimon ben Shetach and the classic case of circumstantial evidence where he enters a structure and finds someone with a blood-dripping sword and a murder victim next to him. But Shimon ben Shetach, not having seen the actual murder take place, then says what he does. Let us continue now in the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Tanaic source, and you can see its length and size by the frame surrounding the material. This sets it off from the rest of the Gemara literature. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzav Me Omed. What is an example of saying something based on Omed? Omer Lohem. The court addresses the witnesses and asks them, Shema Kach Reisem. Maybe thusly you saw, she rots achar chaver lechurba. You saw someone pursuing a fellow man into a ruin. The ratzdem achrov, and you pursued the pursuer. Umatzasem sayef biado, and you saw the fellow who was chasing his friend. You saw him with a sword in his hand. V'domo metaptef, and blood dripping from the sword. V'horug mefarper, and a murder victim in his last bodily motions. Im kach reisem, if that's what you saw, lo reisem klum, you didn't see anything. Tanya, we have another source, and we're not framing it off separately, simply to keep the flow of the Gemara running smoothly. But we've underlined Tanya, indicating this is another source. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach, Ere ben Achoma. This is an expression of oath, like he's as if he were to say, "I swear." Im lo roisi echad sherotz achar chaveru lechurba, where I saw someone run after his friend into a ruin. Ferratzti acharov, and I ran after him. Ferroisi saifbi, although and I saw a sword in his hand, vedoma mutafdef, and blood dripping from it. Ferhorug mefarper, and I saw a victim flashing around, about to die. Viomarti lo, and I, the speaker, Shimon b'shetach, says, I said to him, Rasha, mi harugol azeh, says, you evil man, who killed this guy? O ani, o ata, it was either me or you, and it wasn't me. Avol ma'eseh, but what can I do? She'ein dom chomosur biyodi, your fate is not given over into my hands. Share omro Torah, the Torah rules, al pishnayim edim, yumas hames. Capital cases can only be carried out, and hence court executions can only be issued only if there were two witnesses. And in this case, there weren't two witnesses. Hayodea machshavos, the one who knows people's minds, namely God, Yifra me'oiso ha'ish shehorag es chavero, he shall take vengeance, extract payment, so to speak, from he who killed his friend. Omru, it's reported, lo zozu misham ad shebo nochosh ve'ikisho umes, that they didn't even move from that spot until a serpent came and bit the murderer, and he died. The Gemara asks a question on this story, on the way that the murderer suffered his own fate, namely through the snake bite. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at the topic heading that we're going to assign to this piece of Gemara, the Nosei. It says, Afalpi Shabbat Lo Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin court system has ceased to function, Din Arba Misois Lo Botla. The grounds for which people are guilty, the four different court executions, is not void. We will see shortly in the Gemara that even though, technically speaking, there are no longer the four different means of court executions that are practiced, those four being called skila, srefa, hereg, and chenek, that those four, stoning and srefa, is a form of heat execution or strangulation or death by the sword, those four are not practiced anymore, because the Sanhedrin is batel. Nevertheless, the offenses and the grounds for which these four different misos, four different deaths, are not void. Rashi says on the upper part of the narrow lines, din arba misos, puronus bidei shamayim, punishment issued by heaven, hadoime lemisa, that similar to those kinds of death, shehu mechuyev ba, they still exist. With that in mind, let us point out that the snake bite is considered a form of srefa. It's considered a type of burning, in the sense that the snake venom, once it gets into the body, is thought to or said to be described as if it burns the victim, so to speak. So that even though the molten lead, which was the actual Misas Besdin, is no longer practiced, nevertheless, the snake bite is parallel to Srefa. The problem is that the penalty for murder is not Srefa. The penalty for murder is Saif, is death by the sword. In fact, in the different rankings of death penalties and the corresponding offenses that they correspond to, the most serious form of death penalty corresponds to the most serious type offense. For example, skila, the stoning, which is the, according to the Rabbanan, the chief form of death, is given for things that are considered the most serious offenses, included in which would be violations of Shabbos and some forms of immorality, without getting into details. Murder, as serious as it might be, is not punishable by skila, nor by srefa. It's punishable by a lesser form of punishment, namely saif, through the sword. The Gemara asks, and we're going to be starting here a long question. One can see the length of the question by witnessing the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Tosfos with a long dashed line. All of this is part of the question. The Gemara asks, V'hai bar nochash hu? Is this murderer someone who's subject to death by the snake? And death by the snake, in other words, means sreifa. It's not true. If he is a murderer, he deserves sayif. Before we go further into the Gemara, maybe to spoil the fun, so to speak, poor choice of language, but nevertheless, if you skip down to the end of the long question, we skip to the answer. The Gemara is going to answer as follows: Amri, Hahu chet achriti have bei. This person who committed the murder was also guilty of another offense, actually another more severe offense, a type of offense that deserves sreifa. And the Gemara introduces a source at that point to Omar Mar, Mishin is chayav shtei mises bezas, someone who's guilty of two capital offenses, like our case, he committed murder, and he also committed a type of avera that is worthy of the sreifa penalty, nidon bachamura, he gets the more serious type of execution. And that's why this guy, who, even though he was a murderer, he got sreifa because of that more serious offense that he committed as well, that deserved the sreifa execution. Let's now go over the entire question with the source material. The Gemara asks, V'hai bar nochashu? We're going back to the beginning of the long question. V'ha'omar Rav Yosef, v'chein tani debei Chizkiya, miyom shecharav Beis HaMikdash. We have Rav Yosef and likewise a source taught in the Yeshiva of Chizkiya that says that from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Af Pi Shebotla Sanhedrin, even though the formal court has been abandoned and there is no longer a Sanhedrin, skipping the parentheses for a moment, Din Arba Misos Lo Botlu, as Rashi said before, the ability of Shemayim, or the practice of heaven to carry out punishments that are similar, that parallel the four court executions, is not void. In other words, it continues. And the source will then give us examples of this. Before we go on, let's go over the bracketed section. The source says that even though the Afal Pi Shebotla Sanhedrin, Arba Misos Lo Botlu. So the source says that the four court executions are not voided. The Gemara asks in response, in wonderment, Lo Botlu, how can you say they're not voided, that they have not ceased? V'ha Botlu, but they have ceased. Once the Sanhedrin ceases to function, there are no longer any court executions. Ella, what is really meant is that even though the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and even though there is no longer a Sanhedrin, Din Arba Misos Lo Botlu, the Shomayim, the heavenly intervention with regard to carrying out executions, has not ceased. And here we have examples. Mishin is Chayef Skila, someone who violated a sin that would have been worthy of actual stoning if had there been a court. What happens to him nowadays? Oh, no film in Hagag. Oh, Chayador Soso. He may fall off a roof. The idea of falling off a roof is parallel to the original court stoning, because in the original court stoning, what really happened was a person was shoved off a type of cliff. So the idea of falling or impact is contained within the general heading of stoning. Another possibility is O Chaya Dorsoso, or some kind of wild creature tramples him. Also, with one's imagination, one can see a parallel between that and stoning, and the idea of some kind of force coming upon the victim. Mishin is Chayav Srefa, and we've dashed underlined Srefa because that is part of our discussion at hand. Someone who is guilty of that kind of avera, that kind of sin that would have resulted had there been a court in the sreifa execution, what happens to him nowadays? Oh, nofil b'dleika. He might find himself in a fire, burnt in a fire. Oh, nochosh makisho. Notice how we've dashed underline nochosh, creating a sense of connection between nochosh and sreifa. Mishin is chayev hariga, someone who, had there been a Sanhedrin around and working, and he violated a type of offense, that would have warranted death at the sword. What happens nowadays? Oh, nimsal malchus, he may be given over to the governmental authorities that they continue to practice. Many governments continued after the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and some places even to this day continue to practice death by decapitation. Oy listen, boy in olav, or marauders, thieves, murderers come upon him and end up killing him. So, in the final analysis, the person who had violated an offense worthy of death at the sword gets it anyway. Mi shenis chayev chenek, he who violated that kind of offense that would have been worthy of strangulation, oi toiveya benohar, he may drown in the river, o meis besarunki, or dies as a result of this particular disease, which has characteristics of strangulation. With that, the question is, how is it in the story above with Shimon b'Shetach featuring a murderer, and the story featured his death by snake bite? Murder does not deserve snake bite being parallel to Sreifa. Murder deserves a lesser form of execution, namely death by the sword. The Gemara answers, Amri. The answer, Hahu, that person featured in the story above, Chet Achriti Havibe, he had violated another more serious offense, a type of offense that would have deserved Sreifa, which is more chomer, more stringent than Saif. And that's why he was bitten by the snake. The Omar Mar, me, as has been stated, Mishin is Chayef Shtei Misos Bes, and someone who has upon himself the guilt of two capital offenses, Nidon b'chamura, he gets punished by the more severe method. Me oimed v'chule. The topic heading assigned to this piece of Gemara is found on the outside margin, Nose, a dus testimony, al pi oimed, based on omed type information, as we saw above. One might call it circumstantial or through estimation, but not through actual citing. Masai posel. When is edus based on omed unacceptable? Is it limited to capital cases that we don't accept such testimony, or possibly gam b'momonos? Possibly also in financial cases, such testimony is not accepted. The Gemara is going to open up with an observation, and that the fact that the witnesses are put on notice, the iyum on the witnesses, contains the issue of not saying testimony by omed, but this iyum is characteristic only of dinei nefashos. When learning about dinei momonos in a previous dapim, we didn't see that they were warned not to say testimony in financial cases based on omed. One may draw the conclusion that the prohibition of testimony based on omed is restricted to the realm of capital cases. Continuing now in the Gemara, b'dinei nefashos, hu delo amdinon. Ha b'dinei momonos amdinon. It would seem that in capital cases one is not allowed to say testimony based on estimation, but in financial cases he is. Kiman, who would subscribe to that idea? Rabbi Acha, that would conform to Rabbi Acha's opinion. Desanya, we have a Tanaic source featuring Rabbi Acha, that's Rabbi Acha Omer, Gomol ha'oicher bein hagmalim, a camel who is behaving in a wild fashion amongst fellow camels, v'nimtza gomel harug b'tzido, and we find next to this wild camel, a dead camel next to it, biodua shezeh harago. One can assume, one can come to the conclusion and say it's clear that this is the animal that killed the dead one. This being, of course, without actually having seen the wild animal commit the act of killing. Nevertheless, because he is in the proximity of the dead camel, this conclusion is drawn. That's called oimed, circumstantial evidence, if you will. So at this point in the Gemara, the conclusion seems to be that omed is acceptable in dinei momonos. And why is that? Because in the realm of dinei momonos, the witness, there was no indication that witnesses were served notice not to say testimony based on this kind of information. Well, if that's how you're drawing conclusions, the Gemara will raise a long objection. That's indicated by the Dalet, the Dechiyah, namely a rejection. And you can see the length of it by the fact that there is a dashed vertical line opposite the following lines of Gemara, indicating all of this is part of this rejection. There's another type of information that witnesses are not allowed to say in the realm of capital cases, and that happens to be aid mipi aid, where our witnesses are saying their testimony based on a former witness who may have actually seen the event, but our witnesses did not see the actual event, but they're saying it based on those that did. That's called, maybe second degree testimony, or aid mipi aid, witness from original witness. So we know that aid mipi aid is something not allowed in dinei nefashos, as was expressed by our Mishnah. The issue of aid mipi aid form testimony was not stated in the iyum, in the warning that was issued against witnesses in financial matters. Does that mean that aid mipi aid is acceptable in financial cases? We're going to find that that's not the case. That in the realm of financial situations, financial issues, aid mipi aid testimony is not acceptable either. Therefore, even though it wasn't stated as one of the forms of serving notice to financial witnesses, that doesn't mean that it is acceptable. So too, in the case of Omed, even though it wasn't stated in the realm of Dine moments in financial cases, it doesn't necessarily mean that the Mishnah would accept Omed testimony in the realm of Momonos either. If that be the case, then we would not necessarily have to set up our Mishnah like Rav Acha, but rather we could set it up like the majority opinion, that of the Rabbanan. Let us now see this discussion in the text. Ulitamech, according to you that drew your conclusions by the fact that something was mentioned only by Dine Nefashos and not by Dine Momonos, Eid Mipi Eid Dikotani, the warning that we give the witnesses in the Dine Nefashos concerning not to say testimony based on Eid Mipi Eid, the Dine Nefashos Hu Delo Amrinon Ha B'Dine Momonos Amrinon, are you to think that aid mipi aid is unacceptable only in capital cases, but is acceptable in financial cases? V'hotanan, but we have a Tanaic source that says as follows: Im Omar, if a witness says, Hu Omar Li Shani Chayav Lo, and this is in the realm of finances, where a witness says that the borrower claimed, I am obligated, I still have the debt to pay, or Ish Ploini Omar Li, or someone so-and-so told me that he is Shehu Chayav Lo, Lo Omar Klum. It's of no value. It doesn't serve as basis for stating testimony. Ad Sheyomar, Bifonenu Hoide Loi Shehu Chayav Loi Masayam Zuz. Until the witnesses say that it was in front of us that this borrower admitted to the lender that he is still bound, is still obligated to pay the debt of 200 zuz. We see, therefore, second degree testimony is not acceptable in the realm of Dine Momonos. Almo, afagav, the psili b'dine momonos. We see that even though it is not allowed in financial cases, amrinon luhu b'dine nefashos, it forms part of the warning we state to the witnesses. It's stated in the realm of capital cases. That doesn't mean that it's acceptable in financial cases, though. Hochanami, so too with regard to Omed, afalgav depsili b'dine momonos, even though it's not acceptable in the realm of dine momonos, and therefore the Mishnah is not necessarily like Rav Acha, but the Mishnah will come out like the Rabbanan. Amrinon lehu b'dinei nefashos. It serves as part of the warning that we issue witnesses in the realm of capital cases. But once again, not being the basis of inference that yes, acceptable in financial cases, because that is not necessarily so. Hevu yodim v'chulei, and the Mishnah went on to say, shekein motzinu b'kayin, we saw the expression in the pasuk, demei achicha. The Gemara here will elaborate on kayin and hevel. We see our note on the outside margin, nosei mivneh, we see a double underline feature. Double underline represents a series marking, memros shel Rabbi Yehuda b'rei Rabbi Chiya, comments of his, hakshuros, that are related to l'kayin v'hevel. Omar Rabbi Yehuda b'rei Rabbi Chiya, malame, the pasuk that says demei achicha, the plural word, tells us sha'asa kayin b'hevel achiv, chaburos chaburos psios psios, he inflicted on his brother hevel numerous injuries and piercings of his body. Why so many? He didn't know from where the soul departs the body. Ad shigia letzavaro, until he finally got to his neck. The Omar Rabbi Yehuda b'rei Rabbi Chiya, miyom shepascha haaretz es piha v'kiblosu l'domo shel hevel, shuv loy pascha, from the day that the earth opened up its mouth and absorbed the blood of hevel, it never opened up its mouth again. Shenemar, there's a pasuk that says, miknaf haaretz zmiros shomanu tzvi latzadik, and the Gemara draws an inference from this, miknaf haaretz velo mipi haaretz, only from the corner of the world, so to speak, but not from the mouth of the world. You would have expected that if zmiros of songs are being heard from the depths of the world, it would have been heard from its mouth, so to speak. But that mouth remained closed from way back, from the time that Hevel was murdered. Esfei Chizkia Ochiv. Chizkia, the brother of Rabbi Yehuda, we have double underlined the name Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, the father of Rabbi Yehuda, had another son. His name was Chizkia. So Chizkia, his brother, Yehuda's brother, asks. But we find, by Korach, we find, Vatiftach Haaretz Espia. Notice we've dashed underlined the word Vatiftach, the opening of its mouth. So we find mouth of world opening even after the time of Kain and Hevel. Amalei, he answers, L'ra pascha, l'toiva lo pascha. It does open up for the case of evil events, but opening up for positive things, like the case of singing praises, that it wouldn't do. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda b'rei Rabbi Chiya. Before we go further, we have another geometric form that now is noticed. A diamond with a colored-in tip, and on the outside margin we've indicated the nosei mivneh, golus mechaperes, that exile serves to atone. So we continue. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chiya says, "Golus mechaperes avon mechza," that when a sinner experiences exile, it serves to provide 50% penitence. Meikaraksiv, regarding Kayin, it says, when he initially committed the murder and Kodesh Baruch Hu punished him, it says, "Vehoyisi na venod." There's a double expression, na v'nod, indicating different forms of movement. I'll be on the move constantly. Ula b'self k'siv, but after he experiences this, the exile, it says, v'yeshev b'eretz nod. We find only a singular expression, the gnaw element of his punishment having been atoned for. Omar Rav Yehuda, golos mechaperes shloisha dvarim. Exile serves to atone for three things. Shenemar, Hayoshev bo'ir hazos yomus b'cherev uvarov uvadover v'hayotzei v'nofal el akastim hatsorim aleichem yichyeh v'hoyselo nafsho v'shalol. That if one, the pasuk describes the following, where if one were to remain in the city under siege, he may suffer the fate of cherev rov or dover, the cherev of the sword, rov famine, or dover pestilence. But if he exiles himself from the city, he'll be saved from all of those. Hence we see that golus, exile, spares a person of three other kinds of fates. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, golus mechaperes al hakol. This is different than we saw above in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Yeruchia that said Golos Mechaperes Mechsa, he says Golos Mechaperes Ala Kol Shenemar. Regarding Yechonya, the king, King Yechonya, who served at the tail end of the first temple period, it says Kisvu al Hoish Hazeh Ariri Gever Lo Yitzlach Biyamov Ki Lo Yitzlach Mizaro Ish Yoshev Al Kisei David Umoshel Oy Bihuda. The pasuk indicates that this man Yechonya will have no success and will have no successors. Ubosher de Golok, see if after he experienced exile, it says, Uvene Yechonya, Asir Shaltiel Beno. This is a pasuk from Divrei Hayomim. One should be aware when studying Divrei Hayomim, the book of Chronicles, and the one experiences psukim, one sees verses that have many, many names in it. The names that appear, the multiple names, don't necessarily refer multiple personalities, but rather they could be different terms used to describe one individual. In this case, we see this pasuk that says the children of Yechonya, and it says Asir and Shaltiel. Asir equals Shibroso Imoi Beveis Asurim, that the mother of this child, of Yechonya's child, the mother of Yechonya's child, we'll say Yechonya's wife, became impregnated while he was incarcerated. Shaltiel, Sheshoslo Kael Shelo Kederach HaNishtolim, that he became formed, this offspring, whose actual name will be revealed on Daf Lamed Ches. But in the meantime, we're serving descriptions of this particular son. So we saw the first description was Osir, that he became, his pregnancy started in jail. Shaltiel, Sheshos Lokel, Shelo Kederach HaNishtolim, that his pregnancy was achieved in an unusual fashion. Gemiri, there is a tradition, Shein Ho'isho Misaberes Muma, that in general a woman does not become impregnated while in a standing posture, the he Misabra Muma, and she became impregnated while standing. Dover Acher, Shaltiel, another take on this name, Shenishal Al Olosai, that his oath, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's oath, so to speak, was rescinded. The Rashi explains the top line, Al Olosoi, the word Olosoi indicates, it was a reference to an oath, Lahatir Lo Gzero Shenishba Shaloye Lo Ben, there was an oath made that Yechonya would not have a son, Vitir Lo Palmalia Shomala, the heavenly court, so to speak, rescinded this oath, Ushvua Ksiva Ba'ikbarsha, the Kosu Es Ishazev, Sefer Yirmiyah, and the Rashi indicates that when you look at the Psukim, one can notice that in that Parsha, there's a reference to an oath. For our purposes, though, Shaltiel is made of the word Shinish'al, meaning it has to do with the rescission, the rescinding of an oath. Al Oloso, the end of the word, the Aleph Lamed, a reference to an oath. In the Pasuk, the word or the name Zerubbabel appears. That is not an actual name, according to this Gemara, but rather Shinizra B'Bavel. He was seated in Bavel, means he became conceived in Bavel. Umashma, what's his actual name? Who are we describing? Who is this son of Yechonya? It's none other than the famous Nechemya ben Chachalya Shemo. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.